Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
Welcome. You're listening to the Sports Warriors right here on Blog Talk Radio with your boys, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse. Sean, we have a huge show in store for the fans today.
Tristan, that's right. Lion Fight is just right around the corner. We had a special guest on today's show in Scott Kent, the president and CEO of Lion Fight Promotions.
Right. Lion Fight is just around the corner, starting on Friday night, and it's going to be an incredible show. But let's first start talking about the issues that are plaguing the UFC card once again.
UFC 196, for those of you who are maybe been living underneath the rock for over the last 24 hours, UFC 196 has been pulled from pay-per-view and placed on FS1.
See, at first it was still going to be on pay-per-view because Fabricio Werdum was going to take on Stipe Miocic. But all of a sudden, he has a mysterious back ailment. So now, Cain Velasquez, as well as Werdum, both get pulled out of the main event due to back injuries. Cain Velasquez has been not only injuries, what seems to be for the last 2 years. Werdum hasn't really had any lengthy injuries that have kept him out. But needless to say is that to have both of your heavyweight stars go down due to injuries, you tend to start questioning whether or not they can actually continue to hold up their end of the deal as a world champ. Last time we saw Werdum defend the title was back in 2015 in June against Cain Velasquez, where he choked him out. So when do we start seeing a different change of the guard? Because we had even John Jones come out and say, hey, I'll save this card. You allow me to fight Miocic for the title. I don't think that would be necessarily best for business.
It would probably be best for business for the simple fact that he is still a big name. People want to eventually see him come back to the Octagon. So it would make sense. But he's not the only one that said that I'll go ahead and fight in the main event. Nate Diaz came out and said he'd fight in the main event. Everybody keeps coming out and says, well, I'll fight in the main event to save UFC 196.
Something like 8 fighters came out to try to save this card.
And it didn't even happen. Nobody could save the card. Not even Johnny Hendricks himself could save the card when they moved him to main event status against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It just wasn't enough. And that, again, goes to the whole issue of the fact is that you have way too many fights in 1 year for the UFC. When you got pay-per-views, when you got UFC on Fox, you got UFC on FS. It's just getting to the point, it's getting a little bit redundant, and you're running into these issues all over again. It's deja vu is what it is. We saw this a year and a half ago.
When you have the amount of fights that they have, you're going to have to start thinking about the longevity of the fighters. And when injuries are going to start mounting, where's this well going to come from?
Exactly.
Who are they going to start dipping into to try to save cards? Because there's going to be more than just this one card that they're going to have to try to save. We've already discussed about them losing money because of injuries. They were audited a few months back, I think it's maybe even been a year now, about them losing money, being financially in trouble. So they put all their eggs in their basket to try to regroup some of that money by putting the big stars on big cards and hoping that they don't get injured. But you can't always go that way and expect big things to happen. When you're putting all your chips into one area to try and to save face or try to make bank, 90% of the time it's not going to work.
And when you look at this card and you see them pulling it off, now you're looking at Johnny Hendricks versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson as the main event, and Roy Nelson versus Jared Rosholt as the co-main event. You're looking at two potential main event fights right here that a lot of people weren't all that interested in. I heard talks and grumblings about the Wonderboy versus Hendricks fight, that there was a lot of banter back and forth about whether or not they actually wanted this fight card to actually be the main event. And the only reason why it was the main event was because Johnny Hendricks got on his knees and pleaded with Dana White to make it the main event. Look, if you have to get on your knees and plead to be the main event, again, this is a guy that was supposed to be fighting for a title, right?
Yeah.
And you're telling me that you have to beg for a primetime spot on a card? What does that say about what you're doing right now?
And that is the thing, is that shows how far Johnny Hendricks has fallen. It's, you wonder where Johnny Hendricks ranks. You wonder where Frankie Edgar ranks. He's in that same boat. He's still at the top. He's still the elite. But there's something that's missing between him and Dana White. And it's getting interesting to find out where that is and what exactly it is, because he's following in the footsteps of a Dana White. And I remember when UFC 96 fight card came out and I looked at it and I was just like, why was it even on pay-per-view to begin with? It didn't, to me, it did not justify to spend $60 on this pay-per-view card when your biggest names were Fabricio Werdum versus Cain Velasquez, Johnny Hendricks versus Stephen Thompson. And then it kind of falls off from there. Roy Nelson versus Jared Rosholt, Rafael Cavalcante versus Ofen St. Preux, Joseph Benavidez versus Zach McCoskey. To me, that sounded like it was a free TV show. That's what it should have been.
Headline with Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum.
But one guy that you just mentioned on there is Rafael Cavalcante versus Ofen St. Preux. That's really one of the fights that I'm most intrigued about. Is here's two guys, Sean. Two guys. Cavalcante versus Ofen St. Preux. Let's make it known to everybody that let's see how many people actually knew about this. Ofen St. Preux was a Strikeforce Challengers contender. Remember that? Rafael Cavalcante was a Strikeforce fighter. Both these guys were set to fight back in 2010 at Strikeforce Houston. Let that sink in for a minute. Ofen St. Preux, young guy, strapping guy, all the tools in the world. And so many people were talking about Ofen St. Preux about being the next big thing. Remember?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, this is a huge step up to face Rafael Cavalcante, that he's going to get murdered on a live television show right in front of everybody's eyes because Ofen St. Preux was not ready for it. Now you fast forward to something almost 6 years later. Now these guys two are clashing in the UFC. I think about this almost as a Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather kind of scenario, because back then in their prime, this would have been an intriguing fight. You had a riser and Cavalcante in Strikeforce, and then you had Ofen St. Preux coming from the grassroots scene. And a lot of people were thinking that this could be the future, what we're looking at in Strikeforce. Now you see them here, Sean, and Cavalcante has lost his last three fights, lost three of his last four fights since debuting in the UFC. And Ofen St. Preux has continued to skyrocket right through the ranks of the UFC, beating guys like Glover Teixeira and being able to finish off Pat Cummings or finish off Shogun Ua. Those are names. And Ofen St. Preux is now sitting at the top of the food chain, where Cavalcante is still trying to find his footing in the UFC. When you're always
up and down. It's hard to find your footing. I get what you're saying with OSP, but you also got to look at Roy Nelson versus Jared Russell. You got to figure out what's next for Roy Nelson if he loses to Jared Russell.
Retirement.
That's the only thing that you could possibly see coming from that fight. The only one that intrigues me right now is to see what Joseph Benavidez is going to do. Because he's young, he's quick. That's going to be an entertaining fight. KJ Nunes is on this card, and he's on the preliminary card. Yeah. KJ Nunes, we've seen him since his Strikeforce days. I've never been really impressed with that kid. No, because he's a legit boxer. He's the pretty boy. But yet there's just something
missing about him.
Yes. And it's always been hard to put your finger on it about what is it that's missing with KJ Nunes. KJ Nunes is basically your pure striker. He doesn't have the ability to defend off the mat or take people down. He stands there and slugs with the best of them. But in the UFC, these guys are so well-rounded and so top of the line that it's so hard for a guy who's one-dimensional to be overly successful at the UFC level because of the UFC's talent pool being so much better than everybody else. And I'm not saying that to take that away from anything from Bellator or World Series of Fighting, but when you look at Evolution and you look at some of the top-of-the-line fighters that are in the UFC, they're elite for a reason.
Dude, you want to talk about Evolution? How about we jump over to Bellator 148 with Ryan Couture stepping up against, now taking his game to another level, Sean, going against Podricky Pitbull at Bellator 148. You want to talk about a guy that's Evolution at 33 years old? Here was a guy that went from the defunct Strikeforce, getting his contract picked up by the UFC, losing to Aliyah Quinta and Ross Pearson, bounced out of the UFC, goes to Bellator, says, you know what? If I'm going to live in my father's footsteps, if I'm going to become anybody that recognizes me, I have to do what's best for me.
And that's the thing, is that when we first were introduced to Ryan Couture, it was back in Strikeforce. When we first got a chance to ever speak to Ryan Couture, when nobody knew who Ryan Couture was, and we spoke to him, one thing I always remember Ryan Couture told us at the time was, I didn't want to be known for what my dad did. I wanted to pave the way for myself and make a name for myself. But I guess at some point in time, it's not necessarily a bad thing to have a legendary father in Randy Couture and say, you know what, I don't want to do anything with him. I want to be me. Until he realized, no. It's time to be him. It's time to do what he's always done. And that's being a world-class wrestler and a grinder.
And that's putting in the work. In order to become a champ, you have to be able and willing to work, to evolve, to impress. You want to get that whole moniker away from you about you living in your daddy's footsteps? Do something about it. That's what Ryan Couture is doing at 33 years old. This will be his toughest test in Bellator.
And the thing that he has going for him is the fact that he's got the reach, he's got the height. But Patricky Pitbull, we heard it. You don't want to stand in front of his hands. If Patricky stands there and throws his fist and let his hands go and stays out of the clinch with Ryan Couture, this is going to be perhaps a fight of the night. Because we all know Ryan Couture, if he gets a hold of you, he will grind you out and submit you by the end of the night. But we also know Patricky Pitbull, if he can keep this fight standing, he can knock your head off and knock it into Never Never Land.
For the first time in Ryan Couture's career, with a win over a pit bull, he has his eyes set on Ill Will Brooks.
And that's such a great story, because when I think about Ryan Couture, and here's a horrible comparison, but in the early stages of Ryan Couture's career, and looking at who his legendary father was, the comparisons were simple.
He ain't like his father.
And it was the fact that Randy Couture in UFC or whatever it may be, he was the Ric Flair. Ryan Couture was Ric Flair's son.
He was David Flair with the crowbar?
Yes. He couldn't get over the hump. He couldn't get out of the shadow. But unlike David Flair was always afraid to truly embrace what his father did
and work hard to become better at the
craft. Ryan Couture embraced who his father was eventually
and finally understood what it meant to train full-time, put that effort outside the cage as well as inside the cage. And you're going to see, come Bellator 148, you might see an upset with Ryan Couture having his hand raised, him going to 3-0 in Bellator, and he'll be looking across that cage at Ill Will Brooks for a title shot. And what kind of story would this send through the shockwaves of MMA when many people did not believe Ryan Couture would be at this level, let alone at this point of his career, to possibly get a title shot? That says so much about where Ryan Couture is right now of his career and where he can go with his career. So it's going to be interesting to see that. But then you also have two heavyweights, two juggernauts, and Rafael Butler versus Tony Johnson. We've spoke about Rafael Butler before, because he was supposed to take on Lorenzo Hood. But when you look at Lorenzo Hood, we were there that night, Sean. The night that Lorenzo Hood was supposed to make his MMA debut in Bellator, taking on Rafael Butler. Not to take anything away from Rafael Butler, but let's make something perfectly clear. We were there that night. We were behind the scenes that night. Lorenzo Hood got injured. Simple as that. Believe the stories, believe the hype, believe whatever you want. Lorenzo Hood legitimately was injured. So Rafael Butler, just stop talking about it. Stop stealing Nick Diaz's line saying that you scared, homie. No. He slipped on the mat. That was a little tiny mat at Pechanga. Got a corner. That was it. He was hoping that he didn't tear an ACL, which he didn't. He had a little minor surgery to fix the knee. So that's why the recovery was so much quicker than anything else. Because it wasn't a complete tear of anything.
But Rafael Butler should just be simply focusing on Tony Johnson at hand.
Right. Tony Johnson was supposed to face Vladimir Klitschko in a heavyweight boxing match.
But yet you've got Rafael Butler talking about Lorenzo Hood and then talking about what a punk Bobby Lashley is.
Right.
Like, dude, you have a guy standing in front of you ready to fight you Friday night at Bellator 148, and you're talking off about two other fighters that you're not even fighting. I'm confused about where the logic is.
Totally irrelevant to be talking about contenders that have no relevance to who you are fighting inside that circle. I'm interested to see if Tony Johnson can put his meat hooks behind a couple punches and lay out Rafael Butler for looking past him. When you're a heavyweight and you're looking at Volkov for that heavyweight title that's been floating in midair in Bellator for some time, you have to be able to focus on one person and not the world. Some people are just completely misguided that you lose focus on what's truly in front of you.
So it's going to be an interesting battle between those two.
And you're talking about staying focused of what's in front of you. Well, Chris Honeycutt is just doing that. He's focused on Paul Bradley and what's to come, whether it be a title shot or not. I feel bad for Paul Bradley in this situation because Chris Honeycutt is coming in very, very confident. You're talking about, well, you got UFC 196, Bellator 148. Here's the tie-in. Both on free TV. Which one has a more intriguing card? Bellator 148 by far has a more intriguing card of more potentially exciting fights at the end of the night versus what the UFC 196 had. So you're looking at what they have left. This card is even without Koscheck. Josh Koscheck was supposed to be on the card, got pulled due to injury.
Did you still have Chris Honeycutt versus Paul Bradley on his card?
You got Paul Daly, who's now the new main event. So you're going to see a lot of big bad boys going to work in your prototypical standing band contest that's going to excite the fans through and through. And then you have throw in the Ryan Couture and Patricky Pitbull, right? But Sean, the new Cross Brothers Sports Wars, we're going to be joined up next with the man himself, the president CEO of Lion Fight, Scott King. Stay tuned for more with the brothers. We'll be right back.
Excelsior, Imperius Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DuCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
What's up, everybody? You are listening to the Sports Warriors with your boys, Sean and Tristan DuCross. Sean, we were actually honored to have this man come on our show. Lion Fight this Friday at Pechanga Resort and Casino in Temecula, California. It's going down. Tiffany Van Soos is on the card. Pinka is on the card. Charlie Peters is on the card. Are you kidding me? If you want an extraordinary stand-up and bang fight card, you don't want to miss this on Access TV. But we are joined with CEO and president of Lion Fight, Scott King. Welcome to the Sports Warriors. We are here with Scott Kent, president CEO of Lion Fight. One thing that's making news around the airwaves right now is that you have changed sanctioning bodies for this upcoming Lion Fight Friday night. What prompted you to change the sanctioning bodies?
You know, we weren't having a lot of success with the USMTA and being organized and handling the event that we're used to having it handled in our other jurisdictions. So we were able to bring in another organization through Steve Fossum, that's able to handle the weigh-ins, that's able to handle. We're using a lot of the same referees, the same officials. We just weren't getting the business handled the way it should have been professionally. So we went with another organization, the IKF.
Scott Kent, Tristan here. With the IKF, there's also, with Lion Fight partnering up with the England, with an England promotion for Grand Prix, is that part of the reason about best for business with the IKF?
No, it really has nothing to do with that. You know, we do fights in Connecticut. We do fights in Vegas. We're looking at doing some fights in Milwaukee. And those, you know, they have their own sanctioning organization. So we've never had an issue. We brought in a group out here, the USMTA, and they weren't really equipped to handle the professional show. I'm not sure if they were used to doing more amateur shows, but we just didn't get the results that we were hoping for. So we made made us, you know, a shift, and rather than airing our grievances over social media, we're just going to focus on putting on the best fights. Our association with the Muay Thai Grand Prix is something that we've talked about for a while. It's a way for us to expand our brand into England. We're bringing Charlie Peters, who's fighting on the main event Friday night. We've been able to, you know, he won the four-man tournament. I was over in London in November. So we think it's a great partnership to further expand both of our brands and give our fighters an opportunity to fight overseas.
Scott Ken, Sean here. You're talking about putting on a better show. Everybody's been looking forward to Lion Fight 27 since the last one that was at Pechanga. On paper, this looks like this is going to be one of the best fight cards that has gone on Pechanga. That'll probably outdo the last one that just happened that everybody was raving about.
Yeah, I think it will. You know, in addition to being the promoter, I'm such a huge fan of this sport. And all week, I'm just chomping at the bit for this thing to start. I can't wait for it to get going because, you know, our matchmaker, Christine Toledo, who's from the San Diego area originally, she does such a great job in putting these fights together. And, you know, right down from the opening fight, you know, we've got Jared, you know, who's a former UFC fighter who's going to be fighting. I mean, the Cully Del Rosario rematch is going to be a war. The first one was a war. And you just go right down the line. There's some amazing fights. Coach Chanawat's fighting. Gaston Bolanos, you know, the rising U.S. superstar, is going to fight a Thai with nearly 100 fights under his belt. So that's going to be a good test for him as well. And leading right into, you know, to Tiffany and to Ashley, it's going to be another great fight. And, you know, world champion Fabio Pinca is going to be fighting as well with Charlie Peters. So, I mean, it's a stacked card.
Scott Kent, Tristan here. You just mentioned Tiffany Van Soos. Everybody has rant and raved about this young lady since she debuted in Lion Fight, and she has just taken kickboxing Muay Thai to a whole nother level. And here she has opportunity to capture her second world title, and she as she's dropping down to 120 pounds. What prompted this?
Well, she's pretty much cleaned out the division at 125. So she decided that, you know, she wants to fight for another belt. The weight loss isn't going to be a problem for her. And, you know, it gives us, you know, a whole new list of opponents that we can bring in for her. And, you know, she's another person that we're talking about possibly taking her to England and fighting there as well, defending her belt in London. So, yeah, she's a rock star. She's a tremendous athlete. She's a martial artist. She's a great ambassador for the sport, and we love working with her.
Scott Kent, Sean here. You've had what I guess you could say you're developing your crop of athletes that can showcase. Tiffany Van Soos, you also have Mike Lemaire, which I think a lot of people are surprised to not see Mike Lemaire on this one, as he is a Southern California guy. What prompted that change? Because the last two fight cards at Pechanga, he's been on the fight card. Is there other plans for Mike Lemaire in the future on other cards coming up?
You know, we're trying to figure out who our stars are. We want Muay Thai fighters. We want people that are committed to Muay Thai. I know Christina talked to Mike, and I don't know what had happened, why we didn't put him on. I know we originally had him scheduled to fight in May. You know, we had a war. The last two fights with him have been a war. So whether it was giving him time to recover, but, you know, I'm not real sure. We have so many people that want to fight for Lion Fight that are committed to what we're doing. You know, we want to spend our time and our energy investing and developing, you know, our future stars. Our plan from the beginning was to, you know, have guys like Kevin Ross, guys that have been around for years, give the new guys, Gaston, Victor Saravia, a lot of these great West Coast fighters an opportunity to fight on a consistent basis. And, you know, we've been able to do that. Tiffany is one, you know, there's a lot of great gyms in the San Diego area that we're trying to tap into because we're doing four fights with Pechanga this year. We're looking at probably upping that number next year.
Scott Kent here with the Sports Warriors. Talk about rising stars. You hit it on it a few minutes ago. one of the other rising stars that I think everybody's intrigued for, and the people of Temecula area, the Southern California area, is going to get a chance to see one of the rising stars that you have on this fight card is Bolanos. I think everybody's seen that he's been very dominant, and he's had the spinning back elbow that has been making rounds on YouTube. So is that another exciting fighter that everybody needs to be on the lookout for, Lion Fight?
Yeah, I just did a piece on Inside MMA Friday night, and I did a segment on Gaston. You know, that's why we think that Lion Fight is the next big thing. It's the most exciting stand-up fighting style. When you've got guys like Gaston with his trademark spinning back elbow, I mean, there's nothing more exciting or devastating than to see that combination and to see somebody use it effectively. You know, Gaston's a young kid. He's very well spoken, very respectful of the sport. He's got a great team around him with Kieran up at the CSA gym, and he trains with Kevin Ross and a lot of Kai Hollenbeck, a lot of great fighters. So he's getting a lot of great experience from training with these guys. And, you know, he's got that it factor. He really does.
Do you think that going in against a fight against a guy named Corpet who has 150 fights, is that scary to him, or is he more embracing of that type of challenge?
Yeah, I think more of the latter. I think he's looking at this as a challenge. I think he wants to see where he's at. Corpet is a tremendous Thai fighter, a great reputation. He's been in some wars. So I think all of us are real excited about that fight because we want to see where Gaston is in his development with this type of a fighter, a traditional Thai fighter.
The Sports Warriors here with Scott Kent talking about Lion Fight 27 coming up this Friday and also about the future of Lion Fight. Are you surprised by the rapid growth recently of kickboxing in general? Because, I mean, we've had Legacy Kickboxing, Gory Kickboxing, and now you guys this Friday with perhaps the best card out of all of them.
Yeah, I think that's been, you know, our thought. And we kind of don't throw ourselves into the, you know, that whole kickboxing milieu because it's a different fighting style. You know, everybody has their own vision, their own business plan. And what we've tried to do is grow organically with our American talents. You know, we're an American-based company. We've been able to bring in, you know, the Odds and Fly Fairtex, Jarena Bars, Fabio Pinca, these well-respected international superstars. And it's really given the visibility of Lion Fight. You mentioned the Muay Thai Grand Prix in London. You know, it's to the point where I can go to London now and everybody knows who Lion Fight is. You know, Australia, everybody's aware of Lion Fight because we've been able to put on consistent shows. We've been able to develop our American and international talent. And even though Access is only broadcast in North America, people are finding ways to get illegal feeds, or, you know, they're clamoring for that Lion Fight information, which, you know, it's something we've been working on for 5 years. So it's kind of happened overnight, but it's, you know, we put a lot of work in. We really plowed the fields and started at a small level in Prim, Nevada, and it's really exploded to where it is now.
Scott Kent, Sean here. You've mentioned Fabio Pinca a number of times already. That is one of the main events of the evening. My question is that Pinca has not defended the title since 2013. Why has it been such a long period without him defending that title up until Charlie Peters?
Well, he's in demand. He's one of those guys that travels all over the world and fights. We did have him scheduled last year to fight, and he sustained a pectoral injury. We actually flew him. He was going to fight out in Foxwoods, and he ended up sustaining an injury pretty much the last week of training. So we ended up canceling his fight, or I think we brought in another opponent for him. But he's a guy that we've always had our eye on. He's a guy that we love to bring over. He's a great, you know, he's great for the sport. And, you know, he's such a classy guy as well. So that's the only reason. It's really been a scheduling thing more than anything.
So right now, Pinca is really healthy and ready to go for this fight?
Yeah. I met with him the other day. He's in great shape. He had a great workout yesterday. He's 100% ready to go. Charlie's 100% ready to go. And you kind of have, you know, the young buck going up against the legend. It's kind of a Rocky story. You know, Charlie is not as well known, but he's fought some very tough guys. He fought Joe Nottowatt. He went up in a weight class to fight Joe Nottowatt, which most people won't do. And, you know, he fought him very well. He got beat by Joe, but Fabio's more his weight class. And it really is going to come down to what his game plan is, I think, in fighting Fabio.
So is this something that we could say kind of changing guard with Charlie Peters now entering the welterweight division on a more consistent basis?
Yeah, and I think that's you're exactly right. I think that's something we're going to see where Charlie's at, kind of like Gaston. You know, these are opportunities to test these younger fighters against these more seasoned veterans. And I think we're going to, you know, come Saturday morning, have a much better feel where these guys are in their development.
Scott King here with the Sports Warriors. It's an interesting, I'm going to use an interesting analogy. You're talking about veterans versus the young bucks. It kind of reminds me of the dying days of WCW when they had the new blood versus the veterans in WCW. It seems like That's kind of what we're going to witness here on Line Fight. The young bucks are going to come up and show.
You know, I think so. I think that's why this is exciting. You know, unfortunately, Muay Thai hasn't really had its platform, I think, prior to Lion Fight. And I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, with our television partnership. And we've been able to reach a really broad audience. We've been able to have consistent fights so that these guys aren't wondering for, you know, 9 months, 10 months when they're ever going to fight again. To be able to get better in the sport, you need to be able to fight consistently. And you know, the Thais, like Kornpeth and these guys in Thailand are fighting, you know, every other week. And, you know, that's why they have so many fights. So, I mean, it's exciting to see the old versus the new.
Scott King, isn't it a little bit difficult, though, in Muay Thai to fight as consistent as maybe you would want to because of the fact that you get hit with kicks, knees, elbows, although those type of stuff. Is it hard to stay relatively healthy consistently in Muay Thai?
Well, yeah, you know, there's definitely a recovery period that you're not going to have probably with like boxing. I think you're going to see this with your MMA fighters as well, especially with the elbows, you know, because of the propensity for people to get cut and heal up. You know, Jarena Bars, who just fought for us, you know, the girl's undefeated, has, you know, never lost a fight, but she sustained a huge cut under her cheekbone. She's going to fight next month in the John Wayne Parr's promotion down in Australia. We'll have her back here in May. But, yeah, those are the types of injuries. And just with the collateral damage, with all of the knees and the elbows and the body shots, that there is a longer recovery time. I think, you know, 3 to 4 fights a year is probably a realistic time frame for a American fighter that's going to fight on a consistent basis in Muay Thai.
Scott King, Sean, what would you have to say to the new fans that are just finding Lion Fight, that are just starting to understand Muay Thai? What is something you would like to tell them to help them understand that style a little bit better?
Well, and I think people are intimidated anytime they have something that's, you know, not organic, you know, here in the States. You know, Muay Thai just means Thai boxing. It's a fighting style. If you're not a fan of jiu-jitsu or wrestling, or if you're a big MMA fan and, you know, you're one of those people that boo and hiss when they go on the ground because they don't see there's much action, then this is a sport that's tailor-made for you. It's all of the excitement of a stand-up fight. The difference between Muay Thai or Lion Fight and kickboxing is in kickboxing, they don't allow you to fight in a clinch, and they don't allow to use the elbows. And I think that's probably the biggest difference that you're going to see. I think it's the most exciting stand-up fighting style there is. And you even look at how the elbows have changed mixed martial arts. You know, if you go back and watch fights 5 years ago, you rarely saw an elbow throw. But now all of the fighters are training in Muay Thai. They're all working on their elbows because it is a game changer, whether you cut somebody or just the tremendous velocity and power you can get by throwing that particular elbow.
I think you just hit it right there on the nail on the head right there. I mean, if you watched World Series of Fighting this past weekend, you saw Chauncey Foxworth throw an elbow from his back and just slit the guy's nose area right in half, and he was just pewing blood like a stuffed pig.
You know, and I think there's, you know, when you're going to watch fights, you know, I'm older. I remember watching the wide world of sports and watching boxing. And the minute they had a small cut, they would stop the fight. You know, combat sports have evolved so much that, you know, when people see blood, they don't panic like they probably did before. They realize these are world-class athletes, and that's part of the fighting style, and certainly a part of Muay Thai. And we look at it as you know, utilizing another weapon and changing the complexity and the dimension of the fight by injuring your fighter, your opponent, by cutting them somehow.
Absolutely. Thank you, Scott Kent, President and CEO of Lion Fight. If you're out in the Temecula, SoCal area, please, this Friday, Lion Fight 27 going down to Pechanga Resort and Casino. Thank you for joining the Ducrosse Brothers of Sports Warriors.
Guys, thanks for your support. We'll see you Friday night.
Sounds good, boss.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. There you have it. Lion Fight 27 going down to Pechanga this Friday. Game changer. Elbows. Muay Thai. Different breed of animal. Different technique, you name it. The thing about stand-up and Muay Thai, it's just something on a different planet. It ain't for the weak of heart. I saw a photo or a meme or whatever you want to call it this morning that said, so you said to start with Muay Thai. You said it would be fun. And the guy has a photo of two cuts on his cheek that is just gashed. It's not for the weak of heart. You got to be able to withstand some punishment and keep going forward. That's just how Muay Thai is. To hear that Lion Fight is on the verge of building and marketing their own fighters like a Tiffany Van Suse, a Mike LaMare, and wanting to see who the next people are, it's going to be an interesting night of fights. Because we already know how marketable Tiffany Van Suse is. And to make her the cornerstone of Lion Fight is great for the women's division.
I also like the fact that here's a girl that fought at 125, now going to fight at 120. To be able to fluctuate up and down in two weight categories, possibly holding on to two world titles. I like that in the Muay Thai scene, because when you have a girl that is so dominant in her own right, now there's so many more fighters that you can just start going out there and grabbing and making great fights. And ultimately, that's what it's about, is putting on the great fights. And when you see this, you cannot help but be giddy about this card. Like we said in the interview, yeah, Legacy Fight, Glory Kickboxing, all great in their own right. But there's not a stand-up card that will be able to match what Lion Fight is going to put on Friday night at Pechanga Resort and Casino in Temecula, California on Access TV. You just can't. And again, here's another card. If you're a combat sports fan, you need to see this. DVR it, check your local listing, tape it, whatever, buy your tickets.
There's a fight of Bolanos that fought on the Las Vegas card like a couple months ago. You could go ahead and YouTube it. It's the spinning back elbow heard around the world that busted the guy open from basically ear to ear, it seemed like. He's really renowned for his spinning back elbows, and he'll be fighting a guy, Corpe, who has 150 fights. And he's welcoming the challenge. If he gets through this guy who's been a cornerstone in Muay Thai for so long, we're in for a fight of the night.
Dude, you'll never see a guy look across the cage or in a ring, let alone, and say, you know what? That guy has 150 fights. You know what? I'm going to take him. You don't see anybody in mixed martial arts that is capable of doing that. Because nobody in mixed martial arts anymore has that kind of stones. So here's a kid and Bolanos that is making it known that, hey, if I lose, I lost to a great. But if I win, I just beat a legendary guy. And in Muay Thai, you know, they fight almost daily when they're training. That's how come they have so many fights. So this matchup with Bolanos could be the show stealer of the night, even when a card is stacked with two championship fights on the card.
Correct. And you can't forget about the main event in Fabio Pinca versus Charlie Peters. Charlie Peters is making his name known that he just won in the UK a four-man tournament. So people know who he is in the Muay Thai circuit.
And everybody knows who Pinca is because Pinca, here's a guy that is a Lion Fight champion. Granted, hasn't fought in Lion Fight, defended the title since 2013, but still, nonetheless, Fabio travels the world and fights for championships all around the world. Now you put these two centerpieces together. It's the future versus the present. It's going to be a knock 'em, drag 'em out night. We're going to see blood. We're going to see we're going to see two new champions.
Yeah, one new champion is going to be Tiffany Ventus walking out with two titles around her waist. But titles are interesting. Titles are something you always want to achieve in the level of success. There's a story we're going to kind of break that came up on our Twitter land. Hope they don't mind. I tried to ask them if we could break it. So I'll give them credit, because if it's true, it's a game changer. According to some sources from MMA Raw Uncut, they have it on good authority that Benson Henderson and Alistair Overeem are Bellator bound. I'll let that one just go ahead and marinate. More with the DuCrosse brothers, the Sports Warriors. We are taking you to Fight City. More MMA talk still coming up right here with your boys, the Sports Warriors. Game changer, folks. You just heard it here. You are listening right now to the DuCrosse Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCrosse Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
Excelsior, Imperius Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
All right, everybody, we are back. We are the Sports Warriors with your boys, Sean and Tristan DuCrosse. As we just said, per a source that we have, on their good authority, it is all but confirmed. Bellator will sign Alistair Overeem and Benson Henderson, as they have simply won the bidding war for probably two of the hottest free agents.
When this story gets announced that it's official, MMA Uncut, those guys got a fabulous story for putting it on Twitterland before everybody else. Because that is, again, you can't say it enough right now. It's a game changer. And they've hardly ever, if any, been wrong about breaking a story. When you talk about Benson Henderson and Alistair Overeem, Benson Henderson alone would have been the coup d'etat, the woohoo moment of Bellator. But to get both, that's a shock. I can kind of see Alistair Overeem going over to Bellator because of the fact that Bellator and Scott Coker, Alistair Overeem was with Strikeforce. So when you look at it and you see, well, Alistair Overeem and Strikeforce, that kind of makes sense. So that one I can get behind. You just didn't think that Benson Henderson would have had the cojones to go, deuces, sure. I'm out.
But we've been talking about this for months, about Benson Henderson possibly jumping ship. But we could never get our sources together about whether or not this was just talk, rumors, or anything like that. We couldn't collaborate all of our stories.
Until now, when we had MMA Uncut blasted on Twitterland. It's like, so it was right.
So it's like nobody really wanted to tell us a lot of innuendos. But we knew deep down inside Benson was going to make the right decision because he said it before that it was all about money. He did not like the Reebok deal. He liked about the possibility of making more money in Bellator. He's made it perfectly clear. He's been more intrigued about the matchups over in Bellator than he is in the UFC or the wishy-washiness of how fights have been picked.
He's going to get paid.
Right. So the hottest free agent, Benson Henderson, might be heading to Bellator sooner rather than later, and he might be followed by Alistair Overeem.
And you can't dog the guys when MMA Uncut tweets us back and says that they've not broken a full story yet. That's big words. So they're hanging this whole thing saying this is legit. So I'm going to run with it. Bellator, you're off to a great start of 2016.
Right? Now just stop the freak shows.
That ain't going to happen.
MMA, let's do half and half.
MMA fans love them freak shows.
Right.
Let's just be real. Watch when the February show of Ken Shamrock versus Royce Gracie come out, and it's the highest rated TV special ever.
And to think about this too. So not only are they possibly getting Benson Henderson and Alistair Overeem, can you imagine now that Justino is on her way to Bellator as well soon? Just think about that, Sean.
Times are changing.
The climate in MMA, it's getting a little bit clearer.
Oh, no doubt.
So take it for whatever you want.
Run it with however you want. But when you've got big stones to say that you've never broken a false story before, that alone says a lot.
I'm sitting here, dude. I'm speechless. If this is, it's not all but confirmed. So let's just make that perfectly clear. It is not confirmed yet, but I'm saying, dude, if this, I'm speechless. Like Bellator, you wanted to make waves. You wanted to make history. You wanted to change the climate of mixed martial arts.
If Bellator wants to make a statement,
this is the way you do it.
Go old school and make a legitimate press conference, like as if you were Major League Baseball and you signed a baseball free agent to $100 million, put them on stage and go, boom, what's up?
Right?
I'm here. Freaking coming out with Bellator shirts.
After Bellator 148, you want to talk about a press conference after Bellator 148 where everybody...
How about Bellator 148? Bellator 148. They pause in the action and they announce 1A and 1B.
Oh, just call them out to the side of the stage like that?
Absolutely. Oh. Why not? Let's throw this out there to the masses.
Have the Jumbotron. Have their music player. As Jimmy Smith at the top of the cage, at the top of the ramp, announce them. Unbelievable.
Game changer.
Absolutely. But was it a game changer what happened at WSOF 27?
I just want to end on that note now. We can talk about World Series 27 next week. I just want to end on that one. I just want to let that one marinate.
I'm good with that.
Let's just let that marinate. We'll talk about World Series of Fighting 27 and UFC, the video game, again next week. But we're going to let you guys just marinate on that last little tidbit here from the Sports Warriors. You can go ahead and find us on Facebook, the DeCross Bros. You can tweet us, the DeCross Bros. You can find us all over the map. We're here.
Also, follow MMA, Raw, and Uncut, allowing us to break this story with them. Speechless.
That's it. So till next week, we're out.
Game changer.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now the Ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.